Hola y bienvenidos a Confessions of a Curious Ear, el podcast donde exploramos el mundo a través de historias, Spanglish y sarcasmo. Mi nombre es Laura Matías y hoy vamos a hablar sobre la serie Looking for Alaska o Buscando Alaska, que salió en Hulu. Esa es básicamente la adaptación en serie de el libro Looking for Alaska de John Green. Este es un mini drama, una serie de 8 episodios, es de Hulu, fue creada por Josh Schwartz, está set in Alabama between 2005 y 2006. Y bueno, para el que no esté familiarizado con Looking for Alaska en general, trata sobre este muchacho que se llama Miles Halter, que él se siente insatisfecho en su actual escuela, así que lo llevan a un internado que se llama Culver Creek, y ahí él hace amigos, and they do pranks and have, you know, a good time together. Really great. Esta serie le doy un 4.9 de 5. I think it is just a great adaptation del libro. Creo que es fiel al libro. And it captured the spirit. And I like it a lot. Okay, me gusta mucho como que los actores, they represent the characters so well. Especialmente el coronel. En el libro me gustaba el coronel. I liked him a lot. Pero en la serie, he became my favorite character. I love him to pieces. El actor, Danny Love. This is just perfect casting. I mean, he's so great as como el coronel. He's just so great. He does it so well. También everybody else does very well. I mean, Christine Frazeth is a great Alaska Young. She embodies the character perfectly. Charlie Plummer plays Miles. And he's really good, although I hate the haircut. I hate it to pieces. But whatever. También Jay Lee plays Takumi, y Sofia Vasilieva plays Lara. And yeah, I think the cast is really good. El setting también is really good. I mean, I imagine it more, como mencioné en mi comentario en mi episodio del libro, yo imaginaba esto como muy dark academia, with a lot of darks and whatnot. Pero en el show, it gives you more of like an indie movie vibe, you know, and it's very sunny and there's a lot of bright colors. I mean, honestamente, cuando yo vi la escuela, this is not what I imagined at all. Like I said, if I imagined Dark Academia, I imagined like a big English looking building with bricks and stuff, and it was raining all the time, pero no, en la serie como que it looks like a summer camp, it's very outdoorsy, y las cabañas, they're made of this light wood and whatnot, and yeah, even though it was not what I envisioned, I think it looks way better. Honestly, the school looks really cool. Ojalá yo haber ido a una escuela así, that has so much outdoor space, and the classroom has big windows, and a lot of light comes in, and it's surrounded by trees, and there's a lake, and there's a forest that you can explore, and I really like all of this. I think it's really great. Así que voy a pasar a la sección de los spoilers, así que si no ha visto la serie, la recomiendo full, vaya a verla. It's really great, and it's super short, only 8 episodes. No te durará nada, no durarás mucho en terminarla. So, hope you enjoy it y te espero aquí cuando termines de verla. Bye. Okay, lo lindo de que eso es un miniseries, that means that we can go episode. Voy a hacerlo como que episodio por episodio y hacer mis comentarios de cada episodio. Ok, en el primer episodio es como que nuestro episodio de introducción, es cuando Miles llega a la escuela, conoce a todo el mundo, he meets Alaska. Porque algo que cambiaron es que en este Alaska has like a roommate, which she didn't have in the book. Y ese roommate was like drinking and smoking and having sex with her boyfriend in the cabin. And somebody ratted them out, cuyo in Culver Creek is like este mandamiento, this unspoken rule that it doesn't matter how much you hate somebody. The worst thing that you can be es alguien, es un chivato, básicamente. If you rat out, you're dead to everybody, you're in trouble. Y todo el mundo está ahí como que, oh, buscando who ratted out, who's the person que los acusó. Porque si acusaron a esa gente, entonces nos acusaron a nosotros. Y la pareja, tú sabes, Alaska's roommate and the boyfriend get expelled, so nobody knows who ratted. And it's kind of this underlying mystery that we're gonna have. Okay, algo que también me gusta es la primera escena que vemos es como que this car crash, and it's never like revealed who it is, and it gives you this air of mystery. It's kind of like a bookend sort of deal. Okay, como otras cosas, bueno, como ya mencioné, hate Miles' haircut, hate it. There's no Dark Academia vibes, very indie film vibes. También me encanta mucho el soundtrack. O sea, el soundtrack de esta serie, it's really good. They chose it really well. I really enjoy it. Y si el coronel, love him to pieces, I mean, Danny Love, el actor, I think he's the perfect coronel. Y so that I went from liking him to loving it, he's really good. Although, Yeah, he's black, and I always envision El Coronel as Latino, but whatever, I mean, potato patata, you know? He's a great actor, so that's what matters. También me gusta que Alaska is framed in it al principio as an equal protagonist, no solamente como que Miles solamente. She's also, you know, she literally, her name is in the title, so she gets a lot of more screen time. También me gusta mucho Dr. Hyde, que es el profesor de religión de los chicos. Cuando leí el libro, I imagined him as a crusty old white man and very grumpy. Pero aquí he has gravitas and he's charming and really wise and smart. And I really, really like him. Another thing, Alaska's edition of Gabriel García Márquez's book, fantastic. It's very beautiful. Way prettier than the edition that I bought. That's for sure. Something else that I also noticed is como que El Eagle is younger than I expected. I thought he was going to be like way older. But he looks like pretty young. Maybe he's 35 or something. I don't know. He looks really young. That's all I'm saying. Okay, el episodio número 2, which is my favorite episode. Este episodio is ironic. It's my favorite. And it doesn't happen in the book. I mean, it kind of happens. O sea, en el libro, el coronel tiene una novia que se llama Sara. Y en el libro ellos no se llevan. Se llevan fatal. Se llevan a la muerte. Pero en el libro Miles le pregunta, why are you with her? Y él le dice, de que, well, I mean, because. I mean, she's a terrible girlfriend. I'm a bad boyfriend. We compliment each other, I guess, and we deserve each other. That's all. And yeah, it never like, en el libro, como que nunca, no, we don't delve a lot into his relationship. And it kind of like, siempre se me hacía raro. Because what, even though you think that you deserve each other because both of you are terrible partners, I don't feel like that's an excuse. Why would you be in a relationship where you're miserable? Why would you do that? I mean, just be single. It's fine. Believe me, it's a way where it's a better alternative than just being with somebody that you actively dislike. Y yo no entendí esa relación, pero me encanta que, y sí mencionan en el libro el cotillion, que Sara tiene un cotillion porque todos los riquitos de la escuela van al cotillion because son riquitos. Y el coronel está invitado a hacer la cita de Sara, ¿verdad? With her parents and stuff. Pero solamente gets mentioned in the book. It's not like a full-fledged thing. We never see what actually happens. Pero me gusta que en este episodio, which is my favorite episode, we delve into it. Y me gusta mucho que, first of all, it's really funny. We get to see the whole gang in action. Y también me gusta ver el coronel y Sara are actually a pretty cute couple who does care about each other. And yeah, I like to see that. I like to see that que a pesar de que sí, ellos siguen peleando igual que en el libro, ellos aún muestran como que estos indicios that they like each other and they actually care about each other. Por ejemplo, cuando el coronel literalmente usó su encendedor para encender la vaina del agua para que Alaska, Takumi y Miles pudieran escapar, I thought she was going to be furious. I thought that, oh my gosh, she's going to break up with him. She's going to be furious. He put the sprinklers in el cotillion. She embarrassed embarrassed her in front of everybody. He ruined the cotillion. She's going to hate him. And then she just didn't. They just hold hands. They laugh it off. And they just sit there under the sprinklers enjoying their time. O cuando, ¿cómo es que se llama ese muchacho? El muchacho que iba a hacer la cita de ella para el cotillion bails out. El coronel solamente se para sonriendo, being like, oh, I guess I'll do it. And she's smiling and she's happy. And I think these are really cute. Don't get me wrong. Their relationship is really not as healthy. But I really like that they show that they actually do like each other and give us a reason as to why they're together. And it's just like, oh, just because she's horrible, I'm horrible. I guess we deserve each other. También me gusta como revelaron that Alaska is the rat. I like the way they revealed it. Because algo que me gusta mucho de estos episodios es como que al principio, okay, abrimos nuestra primera escena que vemos de esta serie, es que vemos este car crash. This horrible car crash that somebody's gonna die. Somebody of the characters is gonna die. And they never told you who it is. Maybe you think it's Miles, but yeah, no. He's the protagonist. He's not gonna die. Or maybe he will. Who knows? Y luego como que cada episodio termina with something bad going, que algo malo le pasa a Alaska. Por ejemplo, en este episodio literalmente cierra mostrando como Alaska got discovered porque ella, el alcohol de ella, their bottles of liquor, las esconden en el bosque. Ella cava un hoyo y ahí es donde esconde el licor. Y una vez cuando lo estaba escondiendo, the eagle found her and it gets implied, o sea, como que ahí cortan, pero it's kind of implied that, oh, she's the rat. And that's how they reveal it. And I think it was such a clever way to do it. Okay, episodio número 3, este es el episodio del basketball game, where they are in the basketball game, and the colonel está haciendo lo posible para que lo voten so he can have his record. Y este es el episodio donde Lara y Miles go on their date. And several things that I want to say. First, I love Alaska's fashion style, especially in the triple date. It looks fantastic. También mi favorite moment in this episode es cuando el coronel is taunting the Beast, one of the basketball players from the opposing school. And he's basically said, and he, para molestarlo, le dice, ah, Takumi slept with your girlfriend. And plot twist, Takumi actually did sleep with his girlfriend. And it's just so hilarious. Y sí, the Beast throws una bola a Miles, so he gets hurt. Así que, you know, Jake, Lara y él van al hospital. Bueno, Jake kind of dishes, pero Lara lo lleva al hospital. And, you know, they share their moment. Y several things. First of all, Jake, Alaska's boyfriend, is actually a nice guy, which I totally did not expect. O sea, en mi mente, cada vez que leía a Jake, I envisioned him as this sleazeball, kind of a douchebag that is low-key being predatory towards Alaska. But no, in this show, he's actually a really cool guy. He's really nice and sweet and kind and respectful, and he helps her out when she needs it, and he actually cares about her feelings and stuff. And honestly, I kind of feel kind of bad, because why did I assume he was a sleazeball? Why? I mean, now that I think about it, there was nothing in the books to ever imply that he was a sleazeball. There was no evidence of it in the text, so I don't know where my idea of him being a sleazeball came from, but I'm sorry, Jake. I'm sorry that I misjudged you. You're clearly a good person. I am deeply sorry. Also, something else. Lara, so sweet and cute. I like que Lara is more participant in the show than in the book. In the book, she's kind of like not as important, pero me alegra que ella gets more of like a role, and she gets introduced early, and she's playing more of a role in the show. And she's so, y también como que me doy cuenta de que cuando, y no solamente ella, también Takumi en el libro, like he's part of the group, but not, I mean, it's always like Alaska, el coronel, y Miles, like they're like, oh, the three friend group, pero y Takumi, he's technically part of the friend group, he's actually got to the friend group before Miles, but he always gets left out, he's not in all of the adventures, he's not in all of the meaningful moments, pero me gusta más que ahora en el show, he is important, o sea, lo vemos como un ensemble de cuatro con cinco, a veces con Lara, and he gets more involved in the group, and he has more dynamics with everybody, and I like that he's included more, I really like that. Okay, algo que también me di cuenta es como que cuando tú lees algo en el libro, like, at first, you read it, and you don't think much of it, because, oh, it's just a book, but then you see it in the screen, and you're like, oh, this is actually really weird now that I think about it. Por ejemplo, Lara drives her car. Instead of having a car, a normal car, she has a green limousine. And in the book, that's also what happens. Pero yo cuando lo leí en el libro, como que nobody comments on it. Nobody thinks it's weird. And I didn't think much of it. But now that I see it on screen, I'm just like, oh, that is weird. Girl, why the heck are you driving a green limousine instead of a normal car, like a normal person? Y se lo pregunta de que, hey, what? Y los personajes, Miles específicamente, le pregunta, hey, why are you driving this limousine? Why? And she's just like, oh, well, my dad, él tiene un negocio de rentar limousines, and esta está fuera de servicio, so he gave it to me, and, you know, that's why she has it. So, yeah, I just find it really interesting how in the book it didn't connect of how weird it was, but turns out it is. Okay, episodio número 4. En este episodio es el episodio, bueno, Takumi y el coronel están evitando a Alaska because they found out that she's the rat. Y Alaska le pide a Miles que se quede con ella durante Thanksgiving break. And it happens. They spend their moments, they have fun, they're bonding and whatnot. Y el coronel está en su casa con su mamá, you know, they're making Thanksgiving dinner. Cuando la mamá se entera, Dolores se llama la mamá, se entera de que Alaska y Miles are alone in the school with no Thanksgiving dinner. She's just like, I don't care how angry you are at this Alaska girl. There's no way we're letting those poor children alone in the school with no Thanksgiving dinner. You better bring them here right now. Y nada, mientras eso está pasando, Miles y Alaska, Dr. Hyde, they bond with him. We found out more about his story, which is tragic. And yeah, Dr. Hyde is just such a good guy. I feel so sad for him. Debieron haberlo invitado at the Thanksgiving dinner. Él debió haber ido. It would have been great if he did. But he denied the invitation, I guess. Y nada, Alaska y Miles go to the Thanksgiving. They have their moment and they're having fun. Y Alaska está ahí como que, hey, so Colonel, are we good? And he's just there like, no, I just invited you for Thanksgiving. Don't. We're not good yet. You're a rat. You betrayed this friendship. You did the unspeakable thing that you're not supposed to do. You know, you're not supposed to rat people. Yeah, Dolores is the best. I know that this comes out of left field, but yeah. Dolores is just the best. She's just such a great mom. I really like her. Also, something that happens that didn't happen in the book. Alaska breaks up with Jake because she thinks she's not good enough for him. Ella ve que él tiene esta amiga en la universidad that is so well put together and doesn't have any traumas and whatnot. And she's just like, you should date Jake. I shouldn't date Jake. I'm not good enough for him. So they break up, which is something that didn't happen in the book. But it's very in character, so. Okay, episodio número 5. Now that everybody knows that Alaska is the rat, los weekday warriors quieren hacerle una broma, you know, like a really bad, horrible prank to punish her for doing the unspeakable, which is ratting. ¿Y how did they do it? Y créanme, me duele en el alma. Yo cuando vi esa escena casi me fajo a llorar. Alaska has this life's library. She has tons and tons of books in her room, you know, in the floor and stuff like that. Y ellos básicamente ponen una manguera so it floods her room and destroys a lot of her books. It destroys her life's library. And let me tell you, that was so sad. I was so sad watching that. You know, as a book nerd myself, it was really sad. Y de hecho también conmueve al coronel because he decides to forgive Alaska because he felt like, okay, even though I believe that she should be punished for doing the writing thing, this is too much. That was a step too far. That was her life's library. How dare you? Así que ellos perdonan a Alaska and they help her. They're gonna make a prank para, you know, get back at the weekday warriors. Now, Miles doesn't want anything to do with this prank, which is not like in the book. In the book, he's actually part of the prank, and he's kind of angry that they took them this long to include him in a prank. Pero en este libro lo incluyen en el prank, but he says no because he wants to just go to the winter dance and have, like, a date with Lara. Y ellos, okay, su prank es básicamente que ellos van a básicamente entrar a las computadoras de los weekday warriors and y sus college essays. They're gonna tamper with them and write something really stupid and really dumb so that, oh, we're ruining their chances at college. Which technically they don't because, you know, they're riquitos. Ellos pueden, you know, use nepotism to get inside. So it's not like they're actually doing any harm and damage. Also something that I also like in este episodio es como que Miles is also more... Es como que más participativo, más activo en su relación con Lara. Because in the book, it feels like he doesn't actually care about her. He's actually only dating her because Alaska told him to. And he doesn't seem to actually like her or care about her at all. Pero me gusta que en la serie, it shows that he's actually trying to have a relationship with her. He actually does like her. And he actually enjoys spending time with her. And they do have chemistry. And, well, that they do like each other. Although, yeah, their relationship is, let's be honest, mostly physical. They do spend a lot of time making out a lot. Pero nada, Miles se entera de que el coronel needs help, so he and Lara try to help out with the prank because they think they're gonna get caught and they do their best. Si tuviera una moneda, cada vez que Miles gets attacked by a swan, I would only have 2 monedas. Lo que no es mucho, pero es curioso que pasara 2 veces, ¿no te parece? Yeah, the escena donde the swan is chasing him and bites him on the butt is hilarious. It's so funny, so funny. Ok, ahora episodio número 6. En este episodio, ok, ya hicieron la prank. It's the next day. Things are, you know, trying to go back to normal. You know, they did their prank. Haha. Pero, turns out que mientras estaban haciendo el prank, algo que olvidé mencionar es que hace algunos episodios, Sara y el coronel, they broke up because of the whole Alaska situation. Así que ella ahora está saliendo con Longwell, uno de los weekday warriors que el coronel detesta. Y cuando él se da cuenta... mientras están haciendo la broma, while they're doing their prank, él se da cuenta de que Sara está yendo con Longwell a el bosque to their, you know, a special place to, you know, do the thing. Cuando él se da cuenta de esto, he goes to the forest y él hace como que la voz de The Eagle para que ellos crean que los van a encontrar y así, you know, he basically ruins their moments. Why am I telling you this? Well, turns out that somebody, cuando él hizo eso, somebody saw him. So, básicamente creen que el coronel was the one who did the essay prank. Y ahora los padres de los estudiantes están quillados and, you know, son riquitos so they can get away with it. And they want to hire lawyers y demandar a la escuela y demandarlo a él. And they, básicamente el coronel is getting expelled. And, you know, this episode... is basically all of them, like, trying to fix this, but they cannot fix it anymore. And it's just the colonel basically saying goodbye and being angry that all of this is coming down and happening. It's really sad and really terrible. But that's not all. At the end of the episode, Alaska and Pudge, they're kissing and making out, and because El Colonel is drunk and she's drunk and everybody's drunk and they're making out. And then she leaves because she's just like, oh, I forgot something. And she's in distress and it's horrible. And she's like, oh my God, I forgot something. Así que El Coronel y Miles le ayudan a escaparse en su auto para irse. But they don't know where she's going. She just keeps saying like, I gotta leave, I gotta go. So they help her y ella se va. Y bueno, al día siguiente, we find out that, oh, Alaska Young was the person who died in the car crash at the beginning of the show. She was so drunk. El episodio 7, vemos el funeral, and it's just so sad, especialmente because we see her dad. In the libro, I don't think we ever meet the dad, and it's like so sad because, yeah, El Coronel y también Miles are kind of blaming her for this, because if he had been a better father, she wouldn't have, you know, felt guilty of her mom's death, and you know, it's so sad. Everything's so sad. Y ellos están como que trying to piece together. En este episodio es cuando ellos están tratando de descubrir, like, okay, did she commit suicide? Was there an accident? Why did she leave in the middle of the night? What was that thing she forgot? And they're trying to figure it out. Y al final descubrimos que, bueno, era el aniversario de la muerte de su mamá, y ella se supone que iba a ir a dejarle flores en su tumba. And she felt really guilty because she forgot. That's why she left in a hurry in the middle of the night. We still don't know if it was a suicide or if it was an accident, but yeah, at least they got some closure. Pero antes, en el episodio 8, ellos quieren hacer como este memorial para Alaska. I mean, the school gave her a bench. They did a bench, the Alaska Young bench. But they're like, no, that's not enough. We're not just gonna give her a bench. She deserved better. Así que ellos deciden hacer una prank. The biggest prank in Culver Creek. O sea, esta era una prank que Alaska tenía planeada for their senior year, but now they're gonna do it in her honor. La prank es básicamente buscar a este tipo that he works in the gas station. Y básicamente tienen este día donde la clase de 11th grade and the seniors escogen un speaker que venga al colegio y básicamente dé un speech de algo informativo. Y bueno, ellos deciden decirle a el Eagle de que, hey, we want to bring this person who is an expert, a psychologist, who is an expert in adolescent sexuality and whatnot, and he's gonna give a speech about, you know, how to control the urges and whatnot. Okay, but in reality, ellos contrataron a el muchacho de la gasolinería para que venga, pretends to be the professor that's gonna give the speech, but instead of giving the speech, he just strips naked and starts doing a sexy dance to the music. And algo que no pasó en el libro, que eso pasó en el libro, pero algo que, aunque en el libro ellos, they hire just a stripper, they don't hire the gas station guy. But, you know, I like that they hire the gas station guy. He's been kind of like a recurring character during the show. So I'm glad that they use him in the end. Pero algo que pasó en la serie, que no pasó en el libro, but I still think it's really cool, es que mientras él está ahí bailando, todos los varones de el high school, todos se quitan los poloches y se quitan los pantalones, they're just in boxers, being like, for Alaska Young, and they're all celebrating, you know, dancing and singing for Alaska, and it's really great. And yeah, something that I don't understand is como que en el libro, The Eagle, en el casi no se pudo hacer el baile en el libro, because The Eagle just de una vez se paró to kick out the guy, pero en la serie, he literally lets the guy dance for a couple minutes before he kicks him out, which is really weird. By the way, gas station guy, I mean, he got it. He's ripped. He's built well, just saying. He hides it really well, just saying. And yeah, that was hilarious. That was so funny to me, esa escena. It was so funny. Alaska would have loved it. I'm pretty sure she would have loved it to pieces. Y bueno, al final terminamos con un montaje of Pudge reading his essay, porque ellos tenían esta essay de la clase de Dr. Hyde of what are the most important questions of the world and whatnot. Y el final, el montaje es de Pudge reading his essay, and it's about Alaska, and it is, first of all, it's a beautiful essay. También el montage of them basically going to where Alaska died and basically having closure of, like, you know, of her death. También ellos se robaron la bench de Alaska Young y la pusieron en su secret hideout que ellos tenían, and they're, you know, dancing and having fun, and it is such a sweet moment. También turns out something that didn't happen in the books, Takumi and Lara are together, which, yeah, no strong feelings about that. I think that's really sweet. I mean, they seem very sweet together. But also, I wonder where that came from, because I don't feel... Porque en la serie, they make it a point that Takumi is not interested in romantic relationships. But on the other hand, yeah, I don't think that I ever saw him interested in Lara in that way. Maybe if I rewatch it, maybe I'll see it. But yeah, I just feel like it came out of left field. I wonder where this now they're both together came from. Also, it is better than Pudge, because let's be real, her relationship with Pudge was mostly physical. Let's just be honest about that. Okay, y para concluir, un pedacito de la essay que Pudge lee al final del episodio, y dice así. Although no one will ever accuse me of being much of a science student, one thing I learned from science classes is that energy is never created and never destroyed. And if Alaska took her own life, that is the hope I wish I could have given her. Forgetting her mother, failing her mother and her friends and herself. Those are awful things. But she did not need to fold into herself and self-destruct. Those awful things are survivable because we are as indestructible as we believe ourselves to be. When adults say teenagers think they're invincible, with that sly, stupid smile on their faces, they don't know how right they are. We need never be hopeless because we can never be irreparably broken. We think that we are invincible because we are. We cannot be born and we cannot die. Like all energy, we can only change shapes and sizes and manifestations. They forget that when they get old, they get scared, losing and failing. But that part of us, greater than the sum of our parts, cannot begin and cannot end. And so it cannot fail. So I know she forgives me, just as I forgive her. Thomas Edison's last words were, "It's very beautiful over there." I don't know where there is, but I believe it's somewhere, and I hope it's beautiful. Man, what a line. Qué buen final. Así que esta fue la serie Looking for Alaska, Buscando Alaska, de Hulu, basado en el libro Looking for Alaska de John Green. Espero que lo disfruten. Si les gustó este episodio, suscríbanse al podcast, dejen un review, cuéntenme qué opinan de la serie. Mis redes sociales van a estar en la descripción y pueden también contactarme por ahí. Cuídense, pórtense bien, cómanse todos los vegetales y nos vemos hasta la próxima.